It's always a pleasure to bring new research to you. And today, one of my special guests is Professor Lauren Howe, and she is researching in the area of well-being and leadership in particular. Welcome to the lounge, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
It's great to speak with you, and I've had the pleasure of listening to you speak at conferences. Tell me about your research, and why is it so important we keep talking about well-being in the workplace?
So a lot of my research focuses on the future of work, aiming to think about people as active shapers of the future of work rather than just passive recipients of a future of work that is determined by technology. And so in my research, one of the findings that I think is very important that I'm excited about is when you ask people to imagine the future of work, a lot of the time people focus on technology and its role in shaping the world of work. Where they think, you know, when it comes to the jobs of the future, the things that really will matter are having technical expertise, like programming skills, working with artificial intelligence. And of course, we know that this is one part of the future of work that's important. But there's also this very human side of the future of work. That's another side to the story. It's not just the technical skills that experts predict will matter in the future of work, but also these very fundamentally human skills like empathy, emotional intelligence, collaboration. This is also part of the story that can sometimes be overlooked when it comes to hype around technology. And of course, the way that we imagine the world of work shapes what we do today to prepare for it, what kinds of skills we invest in training and developing. So that's where I think it's very important for us to consider what we focus on when we imagine the future of work. So we work towards creating a future that we actually want, one that kind of gets the best out of both humans and machines, so to say.
That's so true. And whilst you were talking, I was just thinking, I wonder if we've almost missed out the human element altogether, because it feels like we started with productivity and talking about human resources and not really thinking about the human side. And then almost now we've jumped into technology and AI and all of those. And I think the human side is getting a short shrift again. We're being missed out again. So why is that human side, that empathy, those softer skills, compassion, all of those things so important to maintain or even release if we didn't get it the first time?
Yeah, you know, I think to some degree, we're grappling with an interesting historical legacy when it comes to thinking about emotion and well-being at work, where for so many decades, the dominant ethos was emotions don't belong at work, like leave them at the door, you know, get down to business. But we know now that that's not a realistic way for people to be, and that actually positive and negative emotions at work predict all of the outcomes that we care about when it comes to work. Not only things like productivity and performance, but also health-related things, whether people are absent from work, also their creativity and their innovation. And their own kind of well-being. So I think we now are starting to take emotions very seriously at work as, you know, a core part of the things that matter at work. The main question I think that a lot of people are grappling with is knowing that emotion is important. How can we tap into it at work? How can we get the best out of people by helping them to feel how they want to feel at work?
I love that. I love that because absolutely, when you allow the emotions, it's like an added extra, it's an add-on to what you already bring to the skills in the workplace anyway. But then you've also got the flip side. You've got people who are perhaps engaging with emotions overly or putting pressure on themselves that they don't need to, and they're beginning to burn out. And so what for you are some of the main reasons for people becoming sick at work? Is it the suppression of emotion, or is it too much emotional somewhere in the middle of all of that?
Yeah, I think I would really put at the core of it stress, which of course can be, you know, caused by so many different things. And I think sometimes stress can be caused by emotional labor, by suppressing emotions at work. Sometimes I think the emotions at work might be a symptom of something else that's not going well. So if you're overwhelmed by emotion at work, it could be a sign that the workload is much too demanding, that you're struggling with toxic relationships at the workplace. So I think while stress is the cause of a lot of ill health, both physically and emotionally, it's really kind of looking behind the stress, like peeking behind the curtain to try to figure out what the root causes might be in a given case.
And again, it's so important to do that, because if we haven't really been looking at emotions at all, and then we're trying to almost skip ahead and not think about emotions, we've probably never learned to look at it properly and appreciate it for the complexity it actually gives us. So what for you are your top well-being tips, whether it's for the organization or whether it's for people or for both, when it comes to being able to introduce and get the best out of our emotions?
I think part of it starts with not only taking emotions seriously at the workplace, but also creating time and space in order to engage with emotions more. So for some leaders, that could be just making sure that you're actually tracking emotions at work. Are you measuring how employees feel so you can understand where do they feel better or worse? Where is there room for improvement? What's going well? Because I think you have to know first where there may be a problem before you can work to solve that problem. And I think then for leaders and employees, that also means creating space to talk about emotions at work. As a leader, maybe sharing your own emotions so that employees learn that it's okay to bring emotions into work. Doesn't mean that you have to talk about emotions all the time, but creating the kind of appropriate space for that. And for employees, I think it also means even learning yourself to take your own emotional pulse, to understand, when do I feel energized? When do I feel drained? How can I pay more attention to my own emotions at work in order to help myself feel the way that helps me to work and be my best self?
You made a lovely point there about leaders doing it, because they can then model not just that it's okay, but actually the appropriate amount to share and the appropriate amount to work with our emotions. That's fabulous. If we want to now learn more about you, read your research, where can we find you?
So you can find me on my website, www.laurencehow.com. And you can also learn about the research that I'm doing at the Center for Leadership and Center for Leadership in the Future of Work at the University of Zurich, where we have a team of colleagues who are asking big questions about emotions and leadership in the world of work at www.leadthefuture.org.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.